Hello and welcome to the October Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of haunted pals get together to talk about spooky anime. I'm your host, Ghoulish Ace, and joining me are Vampiric Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Goblin Guzzagoz.
Also known as Actually Satan.
Today's episode, we're talking about Fate Stay Night Heaven's Feel Eye Presage Flower, a.k.a. Fate Stay Night Movie, Heaven's Feel Eye, Presage Flower.
It's one, no?
It probably is, but it's Roman numerals, so I like to say I.
Oh, you're being sassy.
I'm being technically correct. A movie from 2017. Of course, chose this one because it's October, so we're covering horror-themed stuff, and he assured us that this fit in while also being relevant for the recently released Fate Stay Remnant. It was produced by UFO Table, the studio behind Demon Slayer, an upcoming Genshin Impact series, which we'll need to cover, and seemingly anything to do with Fate Stay in the title. Fate Stay Night, Heaven's Feel Eye, Presage Flower currently has a My Animalist score of 8.17. This is based on the Fate Stay Night visual novel, which spawned a franchise by Type Moon. And if you're going to start anywhere with this franchise, why not a movie? My summary for this is, Shiro is pulled into the Holy Grail War and nothing is explained, but that's fine because nothing surprises him either.
Wait, we're still doing funny ones?
I can be funny. Arthur, what do you have?
The war for the Holy Grail continues with Vinny Omagas, who's accompanied by Sabre on his quest to find a servant that is laying other powerful servants in its wake.
And Guzzagoz?
Every lives of our protagonist and his bae are interrupted by a stupid mage war or some shit.
Since this movie was 2 hours long, I've made copious notes. So we open on 18 months ago during summer, which we didn't really need the text to tell us because that same audio clip of cicadas that's in every summer scene was present.
And that's no. Why this is a very fitting horror movie? Question mark?
It wasn't 18 months, it was 1 year and 6 months.
Which is it, 12 plus 6.
Yeah, but that's what the text said.
Yeah, I didn't want to waste time saying all that.
Well, you're going to confuse people who don't know how many months is a year.
Shiro Enma and his archery club were, you know, archering and being observed by Miss Fujimura and some guy who opines that with Ayako Mitsuzuri and Shinji Matayo, as well as Shiro, they'll win the rookie tournament. I do wonder how the other 4 to 5 kids that were there feel about overhearing that. Like, so long as we got these 3 people, we'll do great. Sorry, you 5 others.
I mean, you've never been in that sort of situation? That actually used to happen in my school as well. There's like these 2 people you wanted for soccer games, and everyone else was like, I mean, I guess I have to pick you.
Yeah, but you don't say that out loud next to the people who aren't being picked.
Well, I guess your classmates had more manners.
We cut to Shinji telling Shiro off for getting injured at work just before the tournament. He did something to his arm. He returns home to an empty house and finds a note from someone called Tiger that he is welcome back at the club when he's better. He then heads to the shed where he does magic on a tissue, though it doesn't last for very long.
Ace, that is the weirdest way euphemism for masturbation I've ever heard.
There's a knock at the door, the doorbell, I didn't actually hear it, and Shiro finds Shinji's sister, Sakura, stood there. And then we get the titles. The fact that it goes from Sakura to the titles, it appears like a mic drop moment, but it didn't come across as that for someone unfamiliar with the franchise.
Yeah, same. I was like, wait, why is this so important?
When we return, some time has passed and Taiga Fujimura arrives to check on Shiro, and then almost beats him up when he finds him serving tea to Sakura. It was like in comedy anime where, oh, she's just got out the shower and the other person has a misunderstanding. No, they were just sat at the table, about to have some tea.
Yeah, but like his arm was bandaged. So it's like she beat him or something.
The next scene was pretty unclear, but I think Sakura wanted to help Shiro out because he was injured. And the other two keep saying, no, you can't do this. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. So she does it. We get a montage of Shiro answering the front door to Sakura a few times and Sakura doing some chores. We cut to 15 months ago, which is actually three months on from the start of the movie, and Shiro's shoulder is better.
Wait, how many years and months is that? We need to clarify.
A year and 3 months.
Oh, thank God, I didn't know. Thank you.
He quit the club, the archery club, and Sakura has been coming over every single day. I thought that she'd moved in, but that's later proven untrue. And then we jump forward 2 more months to Christmas. Tiger brings food in and gets drunk while telling embarrassing stories about Shiro wanting to be like his father. And then we jump forward again to spring, where 2 members of the archery club convince Sakura to join, and they all take a photo together. And then we jump forward again to the autumn, and Shiro is doing magic in the shed again, when he has a memory of a dream where everything's on fire and there's a black hole or solar eclipse or something. But Sakura wakes him up, and we cut to 1 day ago. We're almost done with flashbacks, people.
Oh my God, and what are we moving towards? I have no idea.
Well, do we know it's flashbacks? Because, I mean, it says that it's 1 year and 6 months ago, but, like, that's where we start watching anyway. So it's not flashbacks to us.
I mean, okay, technically, but why not just start, like, over a year ago and then say 3 months pass, or 3 months later, or that autumn.
I don't know.
They walk to school together, and Sakura says that she has no life outside of helping around Shiro's house.
Been there. That's just me with Gamegren.
I mean, she doesn't exactly say that, but that's what you can infer. She has no friends, she has no hobbies other than cooking and cleaning, and so she goes to Shiro's house to do that.
Yeah, that's still me with Gamegren. No friends. No purpose.
Anyway, they... Later, Shiro is repairing a heater when someone... Okay, I had to look up names multiple times in this. This was the first instance, because it wasn't said until 21 minutes in. So he's in this room with Issei Ryudo, who asks if Shiro is dating Sakura because they look like a couple. He denies it, and they both leave the room and meet Shinji, who acts like a dick. At lunchtime, Shiro spots Sakura talking to Rin Tosaka, and when he asks her about it, she clearly gets jealous that he might have a thing for Rin. And then she starts playing with her ribbon when she's talking about Rin, so Shiro clearly gets jealous that she might have a thing for Rin as well.
Oh no, and then I got jealous.
And I got jealous that they got jealous. It was just framed really weirdly. They walk home, and Sakura asks Shiro if he's going to return to the archery club, and mentions that her brother is probably acting like a dick because he likes Shiro. Spoilers, no.
Well, it's more like it's hinting that he's really fucked up in the head.
You didn't say spoilers.
No, but that's how I took it.
Oh, I took it like, oh, the boys at school are teasing the girls by pulling their pigtails because they like them.
No, he's not that tsundere, eh?
Yes, he is, but Baka. Shiro drops her off and gets startled by Sakura's grandfather, whose presence disturbs the cicadas despite it being winter. He says something weird that I didn't follow and leaves. So Shiro heads home and sees a short girl as a police car races past.
I'm sorry, how do you know she's short? Maybe she's just young.
She might be, but I have no other descriptor for her.
She has white hair.
Then he has the fire dream again, and mentions that he was saved by Kitsurugu Emiya, his father and hero. The short girl appears in the dream and tells him to summon yours soon, otherwise he'll die, and then calls him Big Brother. The next day, Shiro and Sakura make fried pork chops and rice for breakfast. I mean, that's not what I'd choose, but honestly, I wouldn't say no. While Taiga watches the news about an underground restaurant explosion. Sakura drops a plate when she spots a mark on the back of Shiro's hand that he seemingly hasn't noticed, and then she leaves the club without eating. As she leaves, she asks Shiro to get home as soon as possible after school. He doesn't respond, and in the background, the news talks about a family of four murdered at home by a sword. As Shiro enters the school grounds, something weird happens that makes him zone out long enough for literally every one of the 3 dozen people around him to go inside. In the student council room, Issei asks Shiro if he knows anything about the murders, which he clearly didn't hear the news, because he says no, and then Issei says that he'll cancel club activities.
Aren't you using swords? I don't know if he does, but that's a weird thing to ask.
Do you know anything about these horrific murders that happened somewhere, like, probably not near you, but I think you're a murderer, Shiro.
It's like you're trying to be a dick and, like, subtly accuse your friend of being a killer just because you're a dick, not because you actually have reasons to suspect him.
Hey, so you like killing people, don't you?
Don't you own a sword? I mean, I don't know, but don't you?
What do you have in common with the killer? Is it liking killing, Shiro?
After school, Shinji confronts Shiro about looking in one of the empty first-year classrooms, which I don't understand why I was doing that, before telling him to go and do some, quote, stupid cleanup for the archery club. And then he gets crappy because Shiro agrees to do it. Sakura takes her time going home, and it's about 7 p.m. when Shiro realizes that he's been cleaning for hours. He starts to practice at taking an archery pose, but is interrupted by the force of wind caused by 2 weapons clashing nearby. He goes to check it out and is spotted by whatever he finds, and so he legs it. Meanwhile, elsewhere, Sakura is confronted by a blonde who says something we don't hear that upsets her.
Why a blonde?
This person was not named. We don't hear what he has to say. He appears twice and we don't get a name for him.
No, I like it's fine. It's just like a blonde. Well, I mean it's probably a good descriptor because like you don't get many natural blondes in Japan. So and when you see a blonde, it's like a blonde in like 10 square mile radius. That's our blonde.
There's 2 blondes in this movie, and one of them is not this person.
If you talk to your friends about a blonde, there's like 50-50 chance that they will know which one you're talking about.
Shiro escapes to an upstairs corridor and leans against a window to catch his breath, clearly failing his stealth check roll.
Such a good point.
Someone says, "Hey there," and we cut to Sakura sensing something before going inside her house. And then we get the credits, while things we've not seen play with some light opera.
I really liked the opera, but I had to look away from what was happening because I didn't want too many spoilers. And I was really confused and scared. I was like, oh no, he wasn't the protagonist, he's dead.
Those weren't spoilers for what was going to happen in this movie. They're spoilers for what happens in the Fate Stay series.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's...
Unlimited Blade Works series. One of them.
It was a bit weird. It's basically like... Like they quickly go through what happened next.
Which we're not going to describe in detail because it didn't tell us this in this movie.
Yeah, we don't want to tell people. Like, they have to piece it for themselves.
I mean, we had to. Okay, tell a lie. Artura had to. Because I've seen a few episodes of the Abridged series. That's how I knew that those things happened in the series.
And they happen in each path. That's commonality, I guess.
I bet this movie is the only time that they skip it.
Yeah.
So we open back on Sakura's grandfather complaining about a poor summon, so maybe he needs to pay for some gacha drops instead of just getting the free ones, I don't know.
Seriously, it's like people don't learn.
He poorly summarizes things about the Holy Grail War and how powerful spirits are drawn to mages to become their masters, and the seventh spirit is that saber, whose master is Shiro.
Fun fact about, it's just something random I thought you might appreciate. The saying that and then name, so like that ace, is used in Spanish as well, though it's often used with disdain. So it's like, that ace is making a podcast right now. And we've noticed that in Japanese, it's done similarly, but it's not done with disdain. It's more giving emphasis to the personality they're speaking about.
Oh, I took it took away from that he did mean it with disdain.
I thought he meant both. That bitch. Again.
Well, yeah. But it's not strictly used for disdain.
I mean, you could say that bitch and not mean to be like hateful just to call someone a bitch.
Yeah, it's like how I call you.
Yeah. Hi, bitch.
Yeah, do you see, bitch?
Yeah.
We're already rated explicit, so come on.
It's okay, you can beep them all out.
Bitch! Oh, sorry, that won't work.
Full disclosure, I've watched 4 episodes of the Fate Stay UBW Abridged, so I know what happened during the credits, titles, whatever they were. But I would have been so lost right now if I hadn't. However, we're watching this movie and not an abridged series by Project Mouthwash, so Shiro accompanies Rin and a cloaked figure to a church run by someone that Sakura's grandfather wonders what kind of person they are. Which we find out later, shouldn't he already know what kind of person they are? Anyway, Rin belittles Shiro, and they enter the church to find Kirei Kotomine, the local priest. Shiro says that he doesn't want to be a master, so Kirei starts talking about a catastrophe 10 years ago, which Shiro realizes that's the fire dream he keeps having. 500 people died, 134 buildings were destroyed, and nobody in town knows what caused the fire. Well, Holy Grail War.
We solved it.
That's going to be my excuse for everything. But Arturo, why didn't you do the favor I asked you? Well, Holy Grail War.
Why didn't you get some bread at the shop? Well, Holy Grail. Outside, the short person from earlier asks the cloaked saber if they know the name Einsburn. Back inside, Shiro agrees to be a master, like no one ever was, despite not being told what the rules for this thing are, which was the reason they came to see Kirei in the first place.
But he's an asshole, so he couldn't explain.
Shiro and Rin leave the church, and Shorty introduces themselves as Ilya von Einsburn, and then tells their berserker to kill the trio. Saber and berserker fight, and Shiro interrupts to get sliced almost in half.
And we see, like, all his innards. Like, not even just intestines, but, like, other things.
He rolls
I don't know all the organs. Sorry, what was that?
He rolls a few meters and some stuff does, like, come out.
Yeah, like, pick it all up quickly. We can, like, put it in a freezer for later.
I saw that happen. I was like, well, yeah, this does fit this month, doesn't it? He wakes on a park bench, healed by his own power, apparently, and after telling him off, Rin leaves to heal Archer, who we haven't actually seen yet.
He was in, like, the montage.
Yeah, but he hasn't been introduced as a character. We haven't seen him. If you skip past the credits, you'll have missed him.
True.
Ishiro and Saber walk home, and Saber senses someone using magecraft. Upon investigating, they find Ayako Mitsuzuri. Remember her? Being fed upon by a vampire. Said vampire is being controlled by Shinji, who sends Rider, which is its name, to attack Saber. The fight lasts about 7 seconds, and that's because it went into slow motion.
Also, it's awesome. Like there's this big build up, like Saber's gonna get obliterated. No, grabs the chain, yank.
Yeah, I wasn't complaining. It was well done, just very, very short. Shinji is a loser about losing, and as Ryder disappears, his grandfather steps out of the shadows, and then bitches at Shinji, and then turns into insects which fly away.
You know, just your usual grandfathers.
Well, Shiro is absolutely nonplussed about the insect thing, and just wants to know if Sakura is going to be a master too. He's like, wait, insects, come back and tell me the answer to my question.
And then he, on his way home, asks every single cicada he can find.
Which is a lot.
Are you my grandpa?
Shinji continues being a loser and leaves. So Shiro takes Ayako to the church and asks Kirei to help her.
And he's like, I didn't expect you to be back so quickly. It's still the same hour.
Kirei treats her in a back room and talks about how he knew Kitsurigu during the last Holy Grail War. Shiro comes outside and explains to Saber that he was in the church for ages because they were talking about his dad. And then we get to hear from both Kirei and Saber's point of views about Kitsurugi and what Saber was doing during the last Holy Grail War, because her master was Kitsurigu. And he fought for the Ironsburns, I think, where he was killing mages and they won the war. But after getting the Holy Grail, he destroyed it.
I just felt bad for Shiro here because he had to listen to this twice.
Yeah, but one time it was by a cute knight.
Fair.
And the other time it was Saber.
Yeah, no, okay.
Shiro says that he still wants to fight and shakes hands with Saber before going home. And we cut to home, where Taiga is being introduced to Saber as an old acquaintance of Kitsurigu. While they talk, Shiro discovers a mark on Sakura's face, and so heads to school, like the next day, later that day, I don't know, to confront Shinji about hitting his sister. And nothing comes of that.
He power walks through the school.
He power walks throughout the school, and then he runs into Rin and asks for advice, and explains to her what happened last night. She tells him to keep Sakura at his place. At his place, Saber offers to help Sakura with cooking, and there's a weird moment where she's not sure about it or something. I don't know what they were trying to get across there. Like, I'll help you. Oh, well, I don't know. And there's Tiger in the background. Yeah, 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 go on.
I don't remember any of that.
I'm going to be honest, I don't know why they did that either. It just felt a little weird because I guess it was to indicate that that she was kind of shy to ask for help. It just seemed like a weird way to do it.
But anyway, Shiro arrives with clothes for Saber and then breaks the news that he wants Sakura to move in temporarily. He comes up with some excuse, the streets are dangerous, not telling the truth to Tiger.
That he's building a harem.
Moments after Saber and Sakura leave the room, Saber returns to say that something happened. We cut to Sakura waking up to find Shiro monitoring her condition. We don't know what happened to her, just she left the room and now she's in bed.
No, they didn't Saber said that she collapsed?
Yeah, but we don't know why she collapsed.
But you know how she got into bed. She collapsed into it.
So she was very, very tired. Oh, I get like that sometimes.
I mean, she was next to the bed. She collapsed in it. Now she's there. We know why.
Anyway, she gets him to admit why he wants her to stay, which is because her brother hit her. And elsewhere, some ghoul explodes out of a samurai. I'm using terms that I've come up with based on what things look like, rather than terms given to us by the movie, because we aren't given any terms by the movie.
I mean, that's pretty much what happened.
Still elsewhere, Issei asks, I'm not pronouncing that teacher's name, what's wrong when the teacher reacts to something, but he tells the student to stay there. and we never see them again. Oh, sorry, we never see the teacher again.
No, we do. Kinda.
Right, then, again, I had to look things up. Caster walks in on the ghoul attacking some dude, and she stabs herself so that the ghoul can kill her and the dude. And then it runs off, and Caster's body is dragged away by persons unseen. Later, Shiro has a sex dream about Rin and Sakura, but wakes up and gets a phone call from Taiga that we're not privy to.
It's insane that that's not even a joke. It really is a sex dream. I was really shocked when that happened, especially because right at that moment, my mother-in-law decides to come in. I'm like, great, great. Now she thinks I'm a pervert.
It was like that meme, anime when I'm watching it, big action scenes, anime when my parent walks in and it's just boobs.
Are you winning, son?
We cut to the hospital and Shiro is leaving Issei's room and meets Rin in the hallway. On the roof, Rin explains what happened to Issei. Well, kind of. Because she went to the temple, Issei's family temple, and that was where the, what I called the ghoul, killed those people. Except they weren't dead, only comatose. Apart from Caster's master, who was dead. Anyway, the ghoul is called Assassin. I had to look it up because his movie does you zero favors. She then asks to team up, and he agrees. Although Archer finally appears, makes his first appearance this far into the movie, to say it's a bad idea. But she says, no you. Back at his place, Shiro explains the team up to Saber before the doorbell rings, and they find it's Loser at the door, and he's just slapped Sakura. Yes, I've just stopped using his name. He is a loser. His name is Loser.
You know, checks out. It's like medieval times.
I'm happy to hear that that this film got some emotion out of you. And you hated a character.
Shiro and Loser have a tiny little slap fight, and Sakura begs her brother to stop, and she'll do anything he says, so he leaves. Later, in the shed, Shiro uses his magic to explode a kendo sword before Sakura comes out to the shed wanting to talk to him. I'm surprised she didn't find shards of kendo sword all over the place.
Shiro was very thorough.
She talks about the first time she saw him at school, doing a high jump over and over and failing over and over. And they do some character building before she heads to bed. Meanwhile, in the city, the police are responding to something. While at the docks, Lancer, who's never been seen before now, confronts Assassin, and they have an action chase. The chase ends in a swamp, where dark ribbon tentacles help Assassin kill Lancer. Again, nothing wrong with the action scene, it's just I'm not writing about everything that happens in an action scene. I am curious why the person driving the car carrier didn't notice one of the vehicles being flipped off the top level and exploding behind them.
It was late, Ace. Let them rest a little bit.
He was looking at his Twitter account on his phone. No, that was Twitter in 2017.
Got him.
I hate you both.
Sakura wakes with a shiver, calling for Shiro, but Shiro is elsewhere with Saber and Rin. Rin calls out to Sakura's grandfather, who forms out of bugs, to call his servant, who is the corpse of Caster that was dragged off earlier. They start to fight, but it's interrupted by the ribbon tentacles, which absorb the corpse and then give Shiro a seizure.
Just your usual fight.
They return home, and Sakura tells Saber off for Shiro being hurt. The next day, Shiro joins Kirie at a restaurant, where he asks what Shiro saw last night, and then reveals that Lancer was his servant. So that means Kirie tried to kill Shiro. They talk some more about stuff I didn't quite follow, and Shiro leaves, sitting at a park bench, where he's joined by Rin. Rin says that she's going to go and face Sakura's grandfather. He was given a name, I did not note it down. At Shiro's place, Sakura asks Saber to not let Shiro get hurt anymore. And then later at the temple, Saber explains that she's going to try to prevent Shiro from getting hurt again. and they break into the temple to check out the crime scene. It turns out the grandfather was already there, along with Assassin. Assassin and Saber fight, and she's grabbed by the ribbon tentacles. She then goes Super Saiyan and destroys part of the temple when Shiro calls for her. Grandfather taunts that it means Saber has been annihilated, because the mark on his hand is gone, and Assassin kicks Shiro in the face when he also powers up to attack. Grandfather pieces out, and just as Assassin throws his knives, Ryder arrives to save him. Ryder attacks Assassin, and it disappears in a puff of smoke, and so she also disappears, which leaves Shiro to go and try and find Saber. Instead, he finds the ribbon tentacles and tries to confront it, but it disappears. Elsewhere, Rin is upset that a pit she refers to as training rooms is full of insects. Still elsewhere, Loser is looking at potions or something, I don't care. Elsewhere, Grandfather has just eaten someone whose handbag is now covered in blood. Elsewhere, Ilya sees a black kite and wants it. And then we check in on Saber, who is floating in a void, and then tries to get to a hallucination of a Holy Grail or something, but she's grabbed by someone and turns to find herself in a black dress, so an evil herself.
No, just goth.
Goth herself. Meanwhile, Shiro makes it home and finds Sakura outside in the snow and not dressed for it. And then we get the credits. And then a post-credit scene, which is a preview for the next movie. So, was this a good adaptation?
Yes.
You think so? And why is that, of course?
Because it's pretty much word for word.
I mean, it's a direct adaptation of one of the roots of a visual novel. And when we did Higurashi, When They Cry, whichever one that was, they basically just copied the script for that. So, yeah. It's easy to write one of these. Just copy the script for the text-heavy game you're adapting.
Why are we paying writers? Just get AI to do it.
Oh.
So, was this a spooks up, a scares down, or a boo-meh? Altura.
I think for me, it spooks up. I genuinely enjoyed it. The fight scenes were really cool. It's one of the prettiest animes we've watched so far. And it was just fun.
And goes?
It spooks up for me. I mean, I think the only flaw is that, like, it skips over some stuff that's important. So, like, if you're not familiar with the franchise, you'll be confused.
Yeah.
You think? I totally understood everything that was happening. I googled nothing at all. I was never lost. It was just, yeah, I hated that part.
For me, I give it a spooks up. It's the second highest My Animalist score of anything we've covered. The only thing higher than this was Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
Oh, wow.
So does this deserve its My Animalist score of 8.17?
Yes, I actually really liked it. I thought I was going to hate it because 2-hour runtime for something I don't know anything about. I was like, oh, God. And as I started getting lost, I was like, oh, no. But I enjoyed it enough. It was, and not enough in the way of like, well, I mean, I guess, but more in the, for someone who doesn't know anything at all about Fate franchise, it was really good.
Okay, and goes?
Yeah, that score is fine.
Honestly, I think it's a bit high. I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't go crazy for it because it doesn't introduce us to most of the characters. It just relies on us knowing who they are from other sources. This starts at the beginning. It's an origin story, but it doesn't give us an origin.
That's a good point, but I was capable of kind of like figuring everything out from context. But
you can fill in the blanks easily enough.
Yeah, which is why for me it wasn't that much of a problem, because eventually I got what I was looking for, because I tried not to search for anything. And I think I grasped most of it. Maybe when I come back and I know more about the show, I'll be like, yeah, I was a fucking idiot and I had no idea. But up to now, I quite like it.
If it's like introduced stuff and it like made it so that you don't have to know the rest of the franchise or whatever, then like I would just bump the score up higher. Like 8 seems fine.
Right, well, on that note, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Cosgos.
Thank you for having us, Coolishes.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Spooky Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. No. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, scream on.